7:09. Welcome back to the last hour on day one of our Hajj broadcast. In fact, day one of Hajj, which was the day of Mina. Yesterday, we commenced with our Hajj broadcast. In between, we have different Hujjaj who previously went for Hajj. This morning, I was listening to Radio Islam, and they had someone who performed Hajj in 1976, and he was sharing his Hajj experience. So, normally on Sunday evenings, we have Maulana Adnan Adam, who is from Islamic Cultural Institute in Harare. Also very well orator in Harare, and who's a graduate of Darul Mazadwal, shares his nasiha and advices on Radio Islam International every Sunday night. So we thought it appropriate to get Maulana Adnan Adam to share his Hajj experience, and also regarding what's the procedure like in Zimbabwe, what's the quota, etc., and his also personal experience. So my engineer indicates to me on the line from Harare, we have Maulana Adnan Adam. Maulana, firstly, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to yourself, Mona Sahib, and to all the listeners of Radio Islam International.
Hope you are doing well. How are you doing this evening?
Alhamdulillah, excellent. And yourself,
Molana? Alhamdulillah, I'm also very well. Molana, normally on Radio Islam for a number of years, we try and create or paint a picture for our listeners to refresh the memories that our the South African or Hujjaj that went out for Hajj, and also to paint a picture for those that have not been for Hajj, but just to bring that atmosphere and environment in the homes through Radio Islam International. Normally, during normal Hajj, we cross over to various Hujjaj while they are there at these manasiks and different places. But unfortunately, due to COVID regulations, we do not have much people that are reporting to us. So we are interviewing different Hujjaj, sharing their experiences. So firstly, Maulana Adnan, today was the first day of Hajj. Today they are in Mina right now, and tomorrow is a very important day. So your personal experience, which year did you perform your Hajj, and what happened, what transpired in the first day of your Hajj?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, Maulana, I got the opportunity of performing Hajj with my family, that is with my wife, in 2018. I think the Islamic year was 1439. Hmm. Alhamdulillah, Maulana, like you, just before I carry on, very, very, very important, this initiative that Radio Islam has taken up this year regarding the Hajj is not only this year, last year, many people, in fact, the Hajj was not open for people from throughout the world. There were a limited amount of Hajjaj from within the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So it's really important that we still keep the atmosphere and the importance of Hajj alive within our community. So inshallah, in the coming year, when the Hajj opens, or whenever Hajj opens for the remainder of the world, you know, there's still that love and that eagerness to go and perform Hajj. So as I said, Maulana, alhamdulillah, I managed to perform Hajj in 2018, 1439, myself and a group of... Okay. So as I was saying, Maulana, alhamdulillah, we got the opportunity of performing Hajj in 2018, that is 1439, with about approximately 100 Hujjaj from Zimbabwe. And it was a very unique Hajj for the people of Zimbabwe, in the sense that they actually got the opportunity of performing Hajj with their own quota. So all along, before the 2018, we would be considered to be from the quota of Zambia, and we would then included in the quota of Zambia, not have our own quota, go for Hajj with a package from South Africa, package from Zambia, etc. But alhamdulillah, in 2018, we happened to have our own quota, and with approximately between 100 and 120 Hujjaj, we went for Hajj. Some went on the 6-week package, some on the 1-month package, some on the 3-week package, some even on the 2-week package. So we, it's very simple for the South Africans to understand, because we had joined up with a South African group, that is the Shoah Miraj group from, I think it's Durban, and we had gone for Hajj in their group. Alhamdulillah, I was chosen to be the leader of the Zimbabwean, the Muallim, the teacher for the Zimbabwean Hujjaj. And it was unique in the sense that it was my first time going, and I was actually appointed as the Muallim, the teacher. But alhamdulillah, everything went well, and we landed in Medina. Most of us, in fact, most of the Hajjaj from Zimbabwe every year for Hajj. They prefer to land in Medina first, then move on to Mecca, and then they fly out of Jeddah back to back home or back to wherever they whichever they left. Alhamdulillah, we had been given the opportunity to go for Hajj, and we went to Medina. In Medina, as usual, you know, the main attraction in Medina is the different sites around Masjid al-Nabawi, the Baqi, the Rawdah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From there, we then spent our time, depending on the package that you had, how many ever nights you spent in Medina, and then we made our way to Mecca. Alhamdulillah, as I said, it was a unique experience, because I think it was the largest group of Zimbabweans to have gone for Hajj. Meaning the largest number of people to have gone for Hajj, because of course we had our own quota, and that was in fact just before 2018 was the first at the Zemhoek, like how we have Zemhoek in South Africa. Zemhoek was formed in the beginning of 2018. Zemhoek was formed, Zimbabwe Hajj and Umrah Council, so we went under their banner for Hajj. So from Medina Munawwara, we spent our time there. We then left with, I think, the leader of the South African group we were traveling with, Mana Muhammad Hankar, if I'm not mistaken. So we had gone together with him. We joined Ram, and we then continued into Mecca.
All right. Mawlana, with regards to Hajj from Zimbabwe, something interesting. Would you maybe outline to us the procedure for a Haji who wants to go for Hajj from Zimbabwe? What are the costs attached to this? And what about the quota being allotted to Zimbabwean Haji has been enforced by the Hajj Ministry?
It's very simple. I think that's Manakara. It's very simple for the people from Zimbabwe to actually come Hajj, in the sense that we have a quota of 150. The last time Hajj was open to the world, we had a quota of 150, which we fell just short of, because of course the population, the Muslim population in Zimbabwe is very, very, very small, and there's not many people that would look at the population. The majority of the people have already performed Hajj before. So, you know, to get a quota of 150, even close to that, it's difficult, but Alhamdulillah, we managed to get 120. And up to 2019, we would take a package from South Africa. So we would basically purchase a package from South Africa. One of the companies in South Africa, we would purchase a package from them. Of course, it would be slightly a bit more expensive than package that would be offered to the South Africans, because you had costs, you know, regarding visas, transport, regarding all the logistics, etc. So that's basically what we do, is we get in contact with a group in South Africa, and we would actually fly out with them.
Okay. Maulana, you mentioned you, alhamdulillah, performed Hajj in the year 2018. What is your prized and most memorable experience of your Hajj? Something that you'll never forget for the rest of your life?
Well, the thing is, as I said, it was my first Hajj, so every moment that you never forget, you know. But for me, undoubtedly, was the day of Arafah. Without a doubt, was the day of Arafah, because that is basically what Hajj actually is. You know, that is what everybody is waiting for. Those are the moments that everybody is waiting for. And of course, memorable is the first time that you lay your eyes on the Kaaba.
Yeah.
So I still remember, I can still visualize the first time when I laid my eyes on the Kaaba, you know, from the first floor. It's basically, you know, unreal. And you can't, you know, you have to stand there for a moment and for a few seconds just to gather your thoughts and your mind, you know, to say, I'm here, and this is what I come for, and this is what I see. So definitely my most memorable moment of Hajj was, you know, to lay my eyes on the Kaaba and of course, to make tawaf of the Kaaba, to even touch the Kaaba. We've got the opportunity of touching the Kaaba, making dua with touching the Kaaba. And on the day of Arafat, indeed, most definitely, was the highlight of my Hajj. And of all the people that I spoke to, those are actually the highlights of the Hajj as well.
News is coming through, Mullah Sir, that alhamdulillah, the Kiswa is being changed at the Kaaba Sharif. Subhanallah, what an atmosphere. Mullah, like you're saying, you know, there are countless Muslims around the world in tears because we're not able to perform the Hajj this year. Many have made the intention, you know, they've made the arrangements, but we find that the COVID-19 pandemic, which has restricted many around the world in so many ways, has blocked the pursuit and the dreams of the Hujjaj Kiram. Maulana, with regards to many have the means to go for Hajj, and many have not been for Hajj. We know the grave warnings mentioned in the Hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as well as in the Quran Kareem. Maulana, some special advice, you know, for those who have the means to go for Hajj, have not been there. Some advice for them, inshallah, you know, not to procrastinate this unforgettable journey.
Yeah, definitely, Maulana, what you said is very, very important. Number one is the Ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warning a person that has the means to go for Hajj. And on the other hand is, we have to ask ourselves as believers, you know, Kaaba is very important to us as believers. It's the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually refers to his house, to it as his house in the Quran, is that every Muslim should have this desire to go and visit the place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived for majority of his life. And when you go for Hajj, you're definitely going to go to Medina to go and visit the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, if we don't have that desire, and as you know, a lot of times people have the means, and what I've noticed from my personal experiences is people have the means, but they're just not ready to let go of the comfort zone that they find themselves in. Because those same people, you'll notice that, you know, to go on a holiday, an extensive holiday to an exotic destination, very easy, simple. So people, imagine preparing 2-3 weeks in advance, and they're gone. But to go for Hajj, it's actually difficult. Those are for two reasons. Number one is, Shaitan, of course, he'll always try and give you an excuse not to go. Whereas in that same period, if you had to go for a holiday, it would become easy to go. He'll give you a reason not to go. And sometimes those reasons are petty reasons, but we entertain that wasata and the reason that Shaitan gives us, because that's what he wants us to do. And the second is, a lot of people don't see Hajj as a holiday, or don't see Hajj as something that will be entertaining, or you know, a holiday, or don't see Hajj as a holiday as such. You know, but alhamdulillah, I'm telling you now, and I've told many people, if we look at, even when it comes to Hajj, although we don't go for it, in terms of the comfort, you know, it becomes very, very comfortable. Maybe the days of Hajj itself are a bit uncomfortable, you know, you. But that's exactly why you're there for. Many people I know, the three days of Hajj, that is Mina, Arafah, and the day on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, they don't even sleep. You know, they don't get any rest. They've been mutanifa, they're awake, etc. So I think that's what it is many people feel hesitant to go, thinking that it will be difficult, it's hard to go. Alhamdulillah, once you get there, and once you're in the groove, and once you're in there, then you'll notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it extremely easy. And one thing you just highlighted, very important, is many people might have made the intention of going last year, intention of going this year, and I know many people in Zimbabwe as well that had made that intention of going. But definitely, if you are sincere in your intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will indeed take you there.
Amen.
Yes, most definitely. Maulana, before we let you go, final question, just for the benefit of those who judge that did not go for Hajj. How, or can you explain to our listeners what happens on day one of Hajj in Mina, how the day is spent, how you spent your day, and what normally transpires?
You know, the day of Mina, what I noticed is there's a lot of nervousness that sets in, especially amongst the first-time Hujjaj, etc., because they don't know what to expect on the day of Arafah. And I always say this is, the day of Mina is a day of contemplation. To sit down and speak to yourself, you know, contemplate, tell yourself, and to motivate yourself, and to remind yourself where you've come from, why you've come. And Mina is basically preparation for the day of Arafah. You know, rest. And you get many people that we advise when we were there to take rest, sufficient rest. When the day of Arafah comes, you know, be fit and healthy and you know, excited to be in Arafah so they can take benefit by making dua. But you get other people that are much more relaxed. They talk stories, they talk football. What? But you get many people that sit there and laugh, joke around, and really don't consider the day of Mina to be a day of Hajj. Many people don't even consider it. Why? It's because there's no specific ibadah that has been stipulated for the day of Mina. That is an important day, because that is the day of contemplation. Psych yourself up. Physically prepare. And Muzdalifah and the counting of the shaitan, the jamarat.
Well, Adnan Adam, we leave it at that. We really appreciate your time and Jazakallah for sharing your memories and words of wisdom with our listeners. Till next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. In Ramadan as well, I used to listen to the radio. Salman al-Suhaib is in the company of my son. He looks excited and very energetic.
Yes, it's Maulana Kara's his effect and his asar on us that makes us feel like that. Yes, everybody, alhamdulillah, they enjoyed. Even now, the engineer in the background and the news guys were saying how they enjoyed it. They listened to Maulana Kara for the first time yesterday, and he was saying that how his cousins were also talking about it and enjoying the program. So, Jazakallah for those encouragement for us. Definitely, we enjoy the company of Maulana Muhammad Kara.
Maulana, du'as requested, inshallah. You take care. Special du'as, Maulana Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.